Reading from John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'm very excited to share this message with you. You know why? With this message, you can't help not to feel good about yourself in light of how God sees you in Scripture. And if you have a problem with that, go home and talk to God about it, because there's probably something within you that it's difficult to accept what God says about you in his Scriptures, how he sees you. Sometimes you go, yeah, but I, you know, that's kind of church-like, but it doesn't touch who I am inside. No, no, no. God is a very pragmatic, real God. Gets deep down and dirty with humanity, and yet he sees in great love children. So this story is about the love of God. For you formed me, my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. This message, by the way, is a little bit different than most messages. I'm just going to let Scripture talk to you. Our origin is with God. So God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Our origin, and we're in his image. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had already passed. He wrote your story with you, even though you haven't finished writing it with him yet. I am familiar with all your ways. You're no surprise to God. There's nothing in you that is a surprise to God. For in him we live, and we move, and we have our being. We're held together in him. He's patient with you. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but that all come to repentance. He doesn't want to exercise and act on his anger and his true sense of justice. He doesn't want that for humanity. He's just waiting patiently, sometimes very patiently, for us to come to him. His love isn't conditional, and it'll never run out for you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. See how much our Father loves us? He just didn't make us in his image and pay attention to every detail, including the number of hairs on our heads. He takes it a step farther and he says, he calls us his children. And that's what we are. And sometimes we need to say that to ourselves to remind ourselves. God is not far off. God is always near. Scripture says, if you draw near to the Lord, He will draw near to you. If you search the Lord with all your heart, you will find the Lord and His ways. Too mysterious to comprehend through the eyes of the world, but available to us as children. That is what we are. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We know it and we rely on it every day. We rely, we count on the fact that He loves us. We lean on it. We know that God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Every day, rely on His love. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumbered the grains of the sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. This, my own self, but I hear it from a lot of people, especially who don't really know the scripture. God's got better things to do with His time than listen to my squabblings. This verse in Psalm 139, 17, 18 completely contradicts that. It's actually way beyond what we would ever want to believe about ourselves. Is how precious are your thoughts about me? They can't be numbered how many thoughts He has towards His children. There's so many thoughts that God has about you. So many that you as a person can't even conceive of how many thoughts He has towards you. That's how many thoughts He has about you. Isn't this good news? Long dark nights of the soul. Periods of deep valleys. No matter what we have to face in a day, we can take it to the bank that one Psalm 139:18 is true. And when I wake up, you're still with me. You're still there. You're always going to be with me. Every day, I never need to doubt whether you'll be there in the morning. You'll be there in the morning. I give good gifts to my children when they ask, says Matthew. That's a promise from God. I give them good gifts. I'm not going to throw them crumbs, but I'm going to give them life and life more abundantly. As a father, I know how to give good gifts to my own children. If the world, which is corrupt, knows how to give good gifts to their children, how much more out of His abundance, His grace, His mercy, and His provision can He give to His own children, and is He willing to? Call to me. I will answer you. Not sometimes, in my time, but I will answer you all times. And I will show you great and mighty things about life. Things that you couldn't comprehend or perceive of. On that journey, you must have learned wonderful things in your life about the heart of God, the humanity of people, how God with humanity can overcome huge obstacles. He will show you great and mighty things which you don't know today, but you will know. I'm waiting for you, patiently. Just come to me. Just wait it. This past week, I sat down after a busy day and I went, okay, what should I do? Should I watch my favorite TV show online, or should I read a book? What should I do? What should I do? And I kept feeling I knew the answer. Just pick up the Bible and read three verses. God in my spirit said, just give me that time. Just give it to me. Well, I didn't do that for about a half an hour, and I could feel that disconnect from God and that tugging at my heartstring, just connect with me. Take 30 seconds out of your day. I promise you. It was amazing. One half verse and that anxiety just poured out of me. Just amazing. God just wants even that much time to do something with you. He says at all times in Luke 15, 11 to 32, I am waiting for you. Just come. Give me a moment. Well, I need to sit down at the end of the day and read three chapters, and pray for a half an hour. Well, now I'm exhausted because it's the end of the day. God's not asking for a timetable. God's asking for a piece of something in you, because just like the crack of dawn, just a little bit of the sun coming up is brilliant in the morning. Brilliant. And so it is with intimacy and time with God spent. Just a moment can be brilliant. And so he says, I'm waiting for you. He knows you. He put you together. You have your origin in him and his image. And yet, even when you fall and you fail, and there's a pattern of it, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He's happy about you. Remember, before Jesus went and did anything in his ministry, he was baptized. And the heavens opened up, and God says, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. And as you heard today, we are the brothers and sisters of Jesus himself, even though he's Lord over our life. This is the God that we worship who loves us. Before we do anything, good, bad, or indifferent, before any of that, the heavens have opened up when we've embraced him and says, this is my son. You are my daughter. I'm already well pleased. Now let's start from there. I'm pleased already. He will quiet you with this love. You don't have to worry. You can be at peace. And he'll sing with a loud voice over you. Think of a new father or mother. The baby comes home. Of course, you don't want to disturb the baby. But as soon as the baby goes down, you pick the phone up. And when you get on the phone, you think you're subdued about that? Yes, my baby's home. I'm so happy about it. No, there's an excitement. There's a singing over. There's a singing quality of the voice. And you sing to the baby. And it's a deep intimacy. And even as adults, God sees us as his children. He still sings over us. And I will make an everlasting covenant, not a contract, because that implies if one person breaks it on either side, it's done. A covenant is, I commit that whatever you do or choose to do, I will be faithful to you. I will be faithful to you. That I will not turn away from them, but instead I'll do good. But I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. And I will in the fall talk about the fear of the Lord. But there's one of two parts that's appropriate here. You're afraid of your life outside of God, who loves you so much. I'm afraid of that. That's the fear of the Lord I feel as a believer. I'm afraid of what my life would be without this loving God who directs me and hones me in from all sides. Where would I be without this once I've experienced it? When I've had half a verse beam in the new light of the day and change that situation? Where would I be without this God? I would be afraid to be without this God. Philippians 2:13 is about God speaking for you when you can't. God works for you even when you're asleep. He works the back shift for you. God works in you to change you. Your redemption, you have been saved, but you're constantly being saved and walking out your faith and your proclamation of faith in your life by the renewal of your mind. Your spirit's set, but you're still being saved from your thoughts. And this is why Paul says, take every single thought captive, because he knows a thought outside of God's or the mind of Christ leads us astray. So God works in us and God heals us, and all things in our lives please him. Even our brokenness, when we allow him to work through it with us. He's not happy with the brokenness. He's happy with the surrender of our brokenness to him to find a solution. I'm your greatest encourager, 2 Thessalonians. Come on, you can do this. Get up. God had fallen so far from you. You're the last person I want encouraging me right now because I feel separated from you. No, 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 no. You're my kid. Get up. Do it again. Go a little further. Stretch a little farther. Take a little time to rest. Connect back to me. Connect back to your family. Find me in singing and praying and in quiet moments looking at a sunset. I'll be your encourager. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father of mercies and all good comfort, who comforts us in all affliction, so that we may go and comfort others. We know in those dark times when God has been there, we have an eerie calm that comes over us, that Holy Spirit peace when we should be frantic. We should do that for other people. God is able to provide for our every need. But God is not about going, you need $5 so that you can buy, you know, hot dogs and wieners. That's a need. But he also says this, I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will plant them in this land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. There's another scripture that says, I will give them the desires of their heart. A desire is not the same as a need. A need is, it's your basic thing that you need to sustain your life for the life that God has called you to. If that's a Mercedes to do your job, that's fine if that's what God's called you to. If it's a horse, it's the same thing. And one time I'll talk about that, that what God calls his people to do, if you break it down from human eyes, that doesn't look fair that you get that. Why don't I get that? Because you haven't been called to do the same thing, and maybe that's what God requires a person needs. That'll be a whole other day. But he gives good gifts to all of us, regardless. And this is the promise which he himself made to us. This is not going to only go through this life where he's our Father. We get an eternal life. It's a drop in the bucket. We'll be with him forever. Awesome. God, the perfect Father, I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. This is what the Lord Almighty says. God is so faithful. He's close to the brokenhearted. He saves those whose spirits are crushed. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. He's our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. This is why he's called the great I am and not the great I will be. He is present now. I am means present now in times of help and in trouble. And you don't have to fight a lot of the battles in your life. Wisdom through walking with God will teach you this. The Lord Himself will fight for you. He will fight in ways that you can't comprehend or see. Even when you're sleeping, He's fighting for you. He's changing circumstances. He's changing the hearts of other people. And He's changing your heart and your mind and your perception to see the fact that you can't change other people around you in circumstances, but you can change you and Him. So just stay calm. He will fight for you. You don't have to fight. He told David, you prepare and you stand and I'll fight for you. You prepare, stand, and I'll fight the battle. Not you prepare, fight the battle, and as a side note, call me in to help you fight, because you're not going to win. You're going to fall into anxiety and despair. You prepare, you stand, He fights for you. What parent wouldn't fight for their child? What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who could possibly be against us? And so He's calling us home in Luke 15. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen for you. The story of the 99 and 1. Even the angels are rejoicing every time a sinner comes home to God. O Lord, You have searched me, and You have known me, and You know my sitting down and my rising up. You know everything about my life. You understand my thought from afar. You know where I'm at in my thinking. You know I'm confused. You know I'm led astray. You know I'm outright rebelling against You. You know these things. You comprehend my path. There is no word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it all together. There's nothing You don't know about me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't attain it. I can't comprehend. You pay attention to me, and You have as many thoughts as the grains of sands on a beach. And for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Proverbs 28:1, the godly are as bold as lions. No wonder, after everything we've just seen. How could you not be bold if you started to believe these scriptures about yourself? Not in arrogance, but in humility, accepting the great I Am, the God of the present moment, to walk with you right now, to hem you in, to knit your fibers and keep track of every hair in your head, every thought that you've ever had, every place you're about to walk, is already there, and He wants to go with you. He is the great I Am.